This is Otis 12, Diver Dan, do me, production master. These were just varied bits. First bit is Saddam Hussein on Kuwait.
Hello, everybody. It's me, Saddam Hussein, the butcher of Baghdad. Everybody wants to know, Saddam, what's the deal with Kuwait? Hey, not to worry, everybody. The peace-loving army of Iraq has moved in because we need parking in Baghdad. Yeah, that's all it is, parking. Kuwait will be a satellite park-and-ride lot to ease congestion on the Euphrates Freeway. I think anyone who lives in New York, Los Angeles, Chicago, anyone who goes to UNO, a big red game, or lunch in the old market can sympathize with me, Saddam Hussein, the butcher of Baghdad, as I secure new parking spaces for the growing Iraqi economy. Kuwait will be paved and painted with diagonal yellow lines before you can bring any force to bear, so just go tease Noriega in his cage, but leave us alone, okay? Heck, if my plans for Iran a couple of years back had worked out, this wouldn't have been necessary. I would have had room for a car wash there.
This is Kay and Saddam. Wager.
Hello? Saddam?
Hello?
Hello. Hi. Hey. Saddam, my name is Kay Orr.
Yes, the Iron Lady of Lincoln. Hello?
And how is the Beast of Baghdad this morning?
Well, actually, it's late at night here, but to answer, great. Kuwait is now part of Iraq, and I'm anticipating plucking out the eyes of the great American, as my old neighbor said once, Satan.
Well, actually, that's why I'm calling. We in Nebraska, where the good life begins, don't think your puny little ragtag army stands a chance against the flower of American youth, many of whom could be playing right now in the NFL had they so chosen.
I must insist you're wrong. We in Iraq, where smiling faces are our most important product, would throw the Yankees into the sea, had we a sea in which to throw them, although we have excess now due to our brave annexation of Kuwait. Oh, by the way, how's my old pal Stump Merrill doing?
Well, he's fine. Now, Saddam, sounds like we disagree.
Well, as a head of state, Kay, though not as lofty as I, would you be willing to make a small wager?
Sure. I'll bet you a case of fine Nebraska steaks. What's your wager?
A barrel of Iraqi crude.
Great. If we win, you send me oil. If you win, I send you steaks.
Okay, Kay. Hey, is that a big joke in America? Okay, Kay.
Why, yes, it is. I'm very popular over here.
Hey, can you give me some Northern Illinois tickets?
No, I'm afraid not. You're going to have to invade.
Do I do that on game day, or can I do it a little earlier? How are our hotel rooms?
No, they're on fire.
Okay, you like my mustache?
I can't
see
it.
Your husband have a mustache?
This is Saddam Guests.
Hello, America. This is Saddam Hussein, President of Iraq, fearless Knight of the Arab Nation, Liberator of Kuwait, and pretty sharp dresser. Did you see me on TV yesterday in my Botany 500 suit? It was a brown one, you know, just like Bob Eubanks wears on the Newlywed Game. We get the Arabic dubbed version every morning before Oprah. So, wives, would you call your husband's lovemaking Yachayne, or Chahi, or Chahin? Oh, I love that show, golly. Anyway, I was on TV with some of my English guests yesterday, talking about how they wouldn't be used as shields. It's a mistranslation your media has made. I said, which means protection, not which means shield. It's like the difference between prophylactic and rubber. Anyway, I just want to make it clear that the 8 guests I'm keeping strapped to the luggage rack of my Mercedes-Benz are there to prevent war. They're being well-treated. I always let them get down before we run it through the car wash. Hey, by the way, if you'd like to be a guest of me, Saddam, good old boy of Baghdad Hussein, write Chemical Factory Weekend, care of Iraq, Persian Gulf 68101. Rooms are free, and I'll throw in a personalized autographed picture of me waving from my bunker as you prevent war. Goodbye, America. Relax and pray for pieces.
Dr. Bud Natural, this is about the dump.
It's time for another peek through the ozone layer at our home, planet Earth, with noted global ranger, wildlife voyeur, and Zen scientist, Dr. Bud Natural.
Please, call me Bud.
Okay, here's Bud with another Nature Minute.
Today's letter is from 10-year-old Luann Puddlebiddle of Bent Elbow, Nebraska. She writes, Dear Dr. Natural, please, little Lou, call me Bud, okay? Okay. Dear Bud, I live in a little house in a little town. I have a little swing set in my little backyard. Just a little outside our little picket fence, some people are building a low-level nuclear waste dump. Should I stay indoors for the rest of my life? Signed, Luann Puddlebiddle. Well, dear little Lou, don't worry your pretty little head. Low-level nuclear waste dumps are perfectly safe, as long as you follow a couple of simple rules. First, don't drink any milk that comes from cows who have three horns or an extra useless leg or other obvious mutation. Second, don't play in the dirt or near any dirt or whenever the wind is stronger than 3 miles per hour outside. Third, import your water from someplace far away. Fourth, every week or so, go into your dark kitchen at 1 in the morning. Turn on the faucet. If the room lights up, tell your mommy and daddy to put the house on the market and move to Minnesota, maybe near the Mayo Clinic. That'll be convenient if you need bone marrow transplants later in your little disrupted life. Relax, little Lou. Living next to a low-level nuclear waste dump is as safe as swallowing 35,000 glow-in-the-dark dashboard Madonnas. The government, both federal and state, and both hundreds of miles from the dump site, will make sure you're okay. And if anything does go wrong, they'll fund a 25-year study to get all the facts, which will be released to your great-granddaughter. Well, that's another Nature Minute. Let's enjoy the planet, okay?
This is Dr. Bud Natural, garbage.
It's time for another glance through the designer blinds in the rec room out to the world around us with noted Nerf bowler, self-taught electrolysis technician, and psychic hiker, Dr. Bud Natural.
Call me Bud, okay?
Okay, Bud. And now, here's Bud with another Nature Minute.
Today's letter is from 92-year-old Ethel Ethelred of Chump, Ohio. She writes, Dear Dr. Natural, call me Bud, Ethel, okay? Okay. Dear Bud, I'm so worried about garbage. There's so much garbage. When I was a little girl, we had garbage, but it would rot. Nowadays, everything is plastic, and it doesn't rot, but it still stinks. Now they're building another landfill near the rest home. It stinks. All these stinky plastic bags full of stinky plastic jugs. I read in my Gray Panther newsletter that they're making plastic that rots. Degradable, they call it. Will all this garbage degrade? I'm worried the landfill will cover the shuffleboard court eventually. Signed, Ethel Ethelred. Well, dear Eds, some things are biodegradable. That means that little things grow and eat those things. Then, 10 trillion little bacterial farts later, you've got stink, the end product of rot. Plastic is not biodegradable. It does not rot. It does not stink, but it does not last forever. All plastic is degradable. That is, it will degrade, but not via bacterial farts. Something more cosmic is necessary. Sort of a solar fart will do the trick, Ets. When the sun goes supernova, eventually, the mega-hot plasma shockwave will degrade every scrap of plastic on Earth, and it should clear that shuffleboard court off lickety-split. Plus, Ets, since the blast will sweep away Earth's atmosphere, there will be no stink. There's no stench in a pure vacuum. So, throw away your Glade air fresheners, Ets. This is Bud Natural, and that's another Nature Minute. Let's enjoy the planet, okay?
Dr. Bud Natural, overpopulated.
It's time for another blurry glance at the world around us with noted note-taker, corsage designer, and magnetic personality, Dr. Bud Natural.
Call me Bud, okay?
Okay, here's Bud with another Nature Minute.
Today's letter comes from 8-year-old Mandrake Pudmillen of Undershorts, Nevada.
Dear Dr. Natural, come on, man. Call me Bud, okay? Okay. Dear Bud, tonight my mommy told me that the world was overpopulated. She said the earth was crowded, and stuff like food and water and Nike pumps were in short supply. That the third world was in trouble because of high birth rates. Does this mean I have to share my room? Well, dear little man, seems to me that since your mom had you, she's got no room to criticize other people's birth rates. True, there are 6 billion people in the world, but if they all stood real close together, they wouldn't come close to covering your home state of Nevada. Overpopulation is only a problem if you're standing in line for the Star Wars ride at Disney World. Water shortage? The Pacific Ocean isn't going anywhere, Mandrake. And as far as food goes, there's plenty of Cocoa Puffs in my pantry. Of course, if your bedwetting cousin visits again this summer, you will have to share your room. Well, that's how science sees things. And this is Dr. Bud Natural. Let's enjoy the planet, okay?
Dr. Bud Natural, this one is endangered.
It's time to take another in-depth look at nature. Friendly, savage, gentle, and deadly nature. A peek out of the storm cellar at the world around us with noted ecological fuss budget, snail darter chef, and landfill archaeologist, Dr. Bud Natural.
Hey, call me Bud, okay?
Okay. Here's Bud with another Nature Minute.
Today's letter is from an anonymous friend in Washington, D.C., who writes, Dear Dr. Natural, hey, whoever you are, call me Bud, okay? Okay. Dear Bud, let's say I was the Secretary of the Interior or something, just pretend, and maybe I said something silly about some endangered species like, oh, a subspecies of squirrel, something like gray squirrels, red squirrels, black squirrels, what's the diff? Just what is an endangered species? Signed, you'd never guess, but definitely not the Secretary of the Interior. Dear not the Secretary of the Interior, what's an endangered species? Well, anything frozen in the headlights of my Jeep Wagoneer, for one. But seriously not, this whole endangered species thing is a bit overstated. Hey, let's say all the gray squirrels die off. Grab a red one, spray paint them, or bears. Grizzly, brown, panda, isn't it enough if we've got bears, a bear, a tiger, a crane, a rhinoceros left? How many different kind of fish do we need? When it comes to Mrs. Paul's breaded sticks, they're all the same, aren't they? Don't forget evolution, little knothead. Given enough time, new stuff comes along. And as Granny Natural used to say, out with the old and in with the new. 125 million years heals all wounds. Well, that's another Nature Minute. Let's not be like the extinct giant cave sloth of Borneo. Let's enjoy the planet, okay?
This is a Hubble telescope. Dr. Bud Natural.
It's time for another sideways glance at the world we live in with the internationally known spelunking critic, landfill archaeologist, and Fat Farm Extension Agent, Dr. Bud Natural.
Call me Bud, okay?
Well, all right. Now here's Bud with another Nature Minute.
Today's letter is from 13-year-old Chad Chadley of sub-suburban Houston, Texas. He writes, Dear Dr. Natural, hey, Chadster, call me Bud, okay? Okay. Dear Bud, I never get any privacy. My mom and dad are always searching my room. I never find anything, since I hid all the magazines in the gutter of the roof right above my window. Now the Hubble Space Telescope's in orbit, and I hear they can call a coin toss from 380 miles up. Using its powerful lens, they can distinguish a canceled stamp from an unused one sitting on a car seat, looking right down through the sunroof from way up in outer space. I have two questions. Do my parents have access to the data from Hubble? And will the scientists ever use it to view the pool behind the big privacy fence over at Kathy Finholm's house? Her parents are leaving her under her ditzy Aunt Ethel's supervision this weekend. Signed, Chad Chadley. Well, dear Chudinsky, the Hubble Space Telescope, its massive nearly perfect mirror and high-tech optical systems lifted into space, will free astrologers from the distortion of Earth's atmosphere and enable them to see 10 times further than ever before into the depths of the cosmos. I expect they'll see quasars, pulsars, and maybe even the huge turtle that carries the universe on its back, a Babylonian religious belief that deserves equal time in our schools. The only time the Hubble will turn its attention to Earth will be during NFL games to help the instant replay officials. Hope you and your parents enjoy the set of the Weird World Book Encyclopedia and the typed transcript of this program I'm sending. Move the magazines, Chad. Those scientific Americans will get soggy in the gutter. Well, that's another Nature Minute, and this is Bud Natural saying, let's enjoy the planet, okay?
It's Coach Barry's sweatshirt.
Local college football's on the air with a Coach Barry sweatshirt show. Hello again, everybody. I'm Yasha Foyme, and Coach Barry Sweatshirt, former head coach of the Fort Hemophilia Community College Fighting Bleeder football team. Time for you and I to pick 'em. Howdy, Coach.
Hi, Yash. Boop. Chaw.
No, thanks. Last week you were 1-2. You did prognosticate that big Wayne State victory.
Yeah, that's cool. 33% right. That's the same win percentage as the Minnesota Vikings. I could work there.
Well, to change the subject for a second, let's pick a game. UNO travels to Augustana.
Well, Augustana's got quarterback that transferred from Minnesota, so you know he's real good, but I think UNO will get him. They'll win 83-3.
You're big in the Mavs, 83-3. Is it true you called Augustana coach Jim Heinitz a bird brain?
No, I never used the word coach and brain in the same sentence, so I must have called him something else I don't remember either.
Iowa gets there early for New Year's Eve. They're traveling to the Orange Bowl.
Well, it's tourist season starting soon in Miami, so the players are going to be busy cleaning pools, practicing alligator wrestling. It's sad, but that's the only way they have to make expenses. Iowa will win 50-9.
Hayden Fry's guys beat the student athletes of Miami 50-9, and in a local game, Oregon State visits Lincoln to play Nebraska.
I don't feel well. Look, I see a tight, well-played game between two regional powerhouses. Of course, I see that a lot since I got hit in the head with that field judge during a kickoff return a few years ago. Oregon State will win 8-5, but I don't like them going for that extra 2 points and running up the score like that.
The Beavers run it up on the Cornhuskers 8-5. What's this I hear about a job interview?
I heard from NBC, Josh. Actually, it's their local affiliate that they told me to get the pigeons out of their local transmitter up where I live, which I can't tell you where that is because all those people with their stupid pack to death.
Well, thank you very much, Coach, and we'll see you next week. Until then, I hope your surgery goes well.
I thought I had it already.
Well, what's that guy doing to your leg right now?
My tummy hurts.
This is Jack Nicholson bit.
Oh, this is Jack Nicholson, your Hollywood reporter, with the latest news on your favorite big Hollywood stars, which I'm one of them. Now, I know what you're thinking. Last time I talked to you, I was out in the desert on military maneuvers with the other big stars. Well, I ain't doing that no more. The Lakers season's going to be starting soon, and besides, you don't know what it's like sharing a midget submarine with Burt Reynolds, and all he says is, "Hey, Jack, why don't you do television like me, huh? Why don't you, why don't you, why don't you?" All day long. And I can't tell you why they got a midget submarine in the desert. That's kind of classified. So here's the latest on all the big stars. They're all a bunch of goddamn egomaniac pencil-neck jerks with sick mink droppings for brains. Except for Charlie Sheen and me, and when she ain't on a diet, Beverly D'Angelo. Well, that's it for now. I'll let you know if there's any change. Meanwhile, they tell me I'm going to be doing a gossip show. I need a snappy theme song, but I say to hell with it. There ain't a decent songwriter or musician within 500 miles of here since the crew got whipped by that Heather girl. Well, I gotta go. This is Jack Nicholson with the latest from Hollywood.
Mr. Backpack Moose Jerky.
Attention hikers, mountain climbers, and survivalists. You know nothing's better than meat when you crawl into your tent on the trail, an ice cave at 20,000 feet, or your bomb shelter. The protein-loaded and hormone-rich taste of meat fuels your body through the night and the next day's hike, climb, or nuclear accident. Meat. It's the natural food if you're out to conquer nature. Now, Mr. Backpack gives you the meat among meat, the king of flesh, the carnivore's choice, moose. It's heavy in nutrition, light in weight, and ready to travel. And during Mr. Backpack Taste of the Moose Week, it's available at special prices. Mr. Backpack's freeze-dried moose jerky, regular Cajun style or sour cream and onion, step to the top of the food chain. Mr. Backpack's freeze-dried moose jerky. You won't meet K.D. Lang hanging from a cliff in Yosemite, and Paul McCartney isn't likely to knock on your bomb shelter door. So, chomp down and power up. Mr. Backpack freeze-dried moose jerky. Go ahead. We'll hunt down more.
It's cannibalism.
Due to the efforts of certain fanatic entertainers, world attention is being focused on cruelty to animals caused by eating meat. Most meat, the kind not sold in ballparks, was once a living thing after all. But so were vegetables. We of the Good Pals of Living Stuff Society believe it's time we put a stop to the wanton cruelty to plants the vegetarians so hypocritically endorse. Vegetables stink. The world belongs to flora and fauna as much as it does to the rest of us. Leave them alone. Be good to our fellow inhabitants of the earth. They are not here just to serve us. We are. That's why the Good Pals of Living Stuff Society says it's time for a worldwide stampede to cannibalism. People were put here to feed us. Look at talk show hosts, professional athletes, corporate vice presidents. What other useful function can they serve if not to provide us with nourishment? Join us, won't you, in a world brotherhood of cannibalism.
Save the celery. Serve your fellow man. Cannibalism, true ecology for the 90s and beyond. Excuse me, why are you looking at me like that? Put down that ginsu knife.
Little Joey, plastic zips.
Hello, I'm Little Joey. Ooh, I'm 4. Mommy says there's nothing more important when you're raising a little boy than having a dependable system of a place to put the garbage. With traditional garbage sacks, I could crawl right in there. Well, Tramp, our little doggy, did that a lot. We haven't seen Tramp lately. I bet I know where he is. But that was before Mommy got Little Joey plastic zips. See? You zip it right up, and nothing can get in there that isn't garbage. Like me, Little Joey. Uh-oh, nothing can get out either. Like Ivana, Dad's rare Guianan parrot. Oh, don't worry. I'll let her out before the garbage man comes next week. See, Mom's been worried a lot about little tots, like Little Joey, who get into the garbage and play around. I used to scare Mom by smearing old gravy all over myself and crawling into the microwave. Now with Little Joey plastic zips, I can't do that anymore. Now if I want to scare Mom, I have to play with the paint chips again. And Little Joey plastic zips are real big, so all your garbage fits right in there. Like, they're so big, I bet even Mommy would fit. Uh-oh. Little Joey plastic zips for the garbage of your life.
Little Joey plastic zips. Look for the cross-eyed parrot on the label. Use only as hinted at. Little Joey plastic zips. Sold at Iguana Biscuit rest areas coast to coast.
It's another Jack Nicholson. This one's with Delta Burke.
Well, this is Jack Nicholson reporting from the front. I'm here in Saudi Arabia with the Hollywood Rangers. That's a group of big stars who are itching to drink from the chalice of death while the Iraqis are eating mud. It ain't me that talks like that. That's what that sad damn Hussein says. I don't think he's such a bad guy anymore. Well, maybe he is a bad guy, but I hope we don't have to stay here too long. Now, I know what you're thinking, Jack. A couple weeks ago, you were a bloodthirsty bull moose ready to rip the gold fillings out of them Iraqi fellas' sun-blistered mouths. Well, that was before I had to put up with 2 weeks of Martin Sheen going up to every leatherneck he sees and saying, "Can I play you in the movie? Can I play you in the movie?" Now, I won't say nothing about the sand, except to say basketballs don't bounce very well in it. And that's another reason this has got to end soon. There'll be no Laker games here, not even on TV. Yeah, they get CNN here, but not TNT, and, well, that's the one I really like. Plus, we got another problem. In a scene right out of a Shakespeare comedy, it seems Delta Burke dressed up as a guy and stowed away, and now she's over here complaining that she can't get another phone in her tent, and none of the stores sell that aloe henna mixture she uses to keep her skin looking so very young. Let me tell you, she's got a lot of skin, too, and it all nauseates me. Well, I gotta go. We got a prisoner. Me and old Arsenio Hall are gonna give him the third degree. That Arsenio's a master at torture, you know. Get me out of this goddamn hell.
The Old Crime Movie.
Doomy and 12 proudly present The Mondo Made for Radio Movie. This week, the underworld thrives by night. Dread and danger trod the dark side of the city lights. Butterflies and little bunnies dance in the meadow. Death stalks the unaware. Duplicity looms like a naked wino over every corner. Fertile ground for geriatric organized crime.
You've been moving into my territory, Shifty.
Oh, no, Gregor. You've been moving into my territory.
Oh, have I? It's so hard to remember anymore.
A city in the grip of terror as old criminals declare war on law and order.
Grover, you've been singing to the feds.
Oh, no, Chaz, it wasn't me. It wasn't me, honest.
Sorry, Grover.
No.
Okay, boys.
No.
Plug in the microwave.
No, my basement.
Send some flowers to the widow, boys.
Only old federal agent Elliot Neck can break up the elderly mob war.
Come out with your hands up, Timothy. The joint's surrounded.
No way, Copper. If we put our hands up, we're four down.
Oh, that's right. Well, come on out. But keep both hands on your canes and keep those walkers out where I can see them.
Oh, you'll never take me alive, Copper.
I won't? Well, hurry up then. I haven't got all night.
Geriatric organized crime. With George Burns as Shifty, Bob Hope as Grover, Jack Albertson as Mork, and starring Helen Hayes as Elliot Neck. Tonight on The Mondo Movie.
It's Donald Trump's plea.
Into every life, some rain must fall. Hi, this is Donald Trump, owner of the Trump Tower, the Trump Taj Mahal, the Trump Princess, most of Marla Maple's underwear, and creator of Trump the Game and the Tour de Trump bicycle race. For years, you've been inspired by my plucky brand of American entrepreneurship. You've been moved by my rugged individualism, reminiscent of the pioneers. Pioneers like the Donner Party. As I've worked hard to make America a better place for me to live, my unselfish accumulation of wealth has been a comfort to you as you go to sleep at night, secure in your heart, knowing that high-rolling, compulsive gamblers are snug in their comp circular beds at my casinos. Yuppie couples are listening to New Age music in their chromed condos at one of my Manhattan high-rises, with a homeless 45 stories down and a block and a half away, out of sight. And the industrial might of the USA throbbing away, making gold-plated bathroom fixtures and tasteless art objects to service my magnificent obsession. Well, I've done my bit. Now it's up to you. Here's the deal. I need $75 million by next Friday. Help me, help my estranged wife, and the little Trump kids. Send me $10, and I'll send you an autographed junk bond. The American dream lives on. Help me prove it. If you can't stand me, fine. Then think of the bankers. Oh, that wasn't a good idea. Well, send your money to Don't Dump the Trump, Post Office Box TRUMP, Trump Tower, Trump's part of town, New York, New York. Remember, a Trump is a terrible thing to waste.
This is Odd 12, whatever the heck that means.
Tonight, on our station, ODD 12, Odd 12.
He bought a picnic table. It was made of wood. They said the wood was treated so we could leave it outside. But they didn't tell him about the ants. The bug-infested picnic table, this week on Otis Edition.
Then, stay tuned for Married with Diver.
Boy, I hate work. My socks are so unfashionable.
Bad day at the office, Diver Dan?
It's not an office. It's a radio station.
Oh, I'm sorry.
God, Diver Heather, what's happened to us?
Well, ever since you've turned 41-something, you... Oh, want to play a little sex game?
Why, sure, sweet feet. Let's play a little sex game.
Okay. Let's hang a chart up in the bedroom.
And keep track of who has sex the most.
That's right.
That's Otis Edition and Married with Diver. Tonight on ODD Odd 12. It's our station.